It's 9:59 here at KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15, we got Flashpoints coming with Dennis Bernstein. And 11 o'clock, the bike show examines the way cycling and transportation affect our everyday lives. We're going to hear a couple of announcements before we get to Air Cascadia.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Dead Moon Night, Thursday, October 5th at 6 p.m. at the outdoor portico of Portland City Hall. Dead Moon Night is a celebration of the Portland band Dead Moon. An official proclamation declaring that day as Dead Moon Night will be read along with surprise musical guests, refreshments, and an exhibit about Dead Moon. Again, that's Dead Moon Night, Thursday, October 5th at 6 p.m. at the outdoor portico of Portland City Hall, 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, October 4th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and of course, this is your fake news radio. How do we know that it's fake? Because it's based on things that happen in the real world. That's how. As we all have learned, coming even news that comes across big water, ocean water. That was a quote from the president that was so stunning. And I noticed, of course, that after that, his ratings began to drop amongst his most ardent followers, which those would be key numbers to track if you are a number tracking quant sort of a person. And I know you are. So that said, yes, big water, ocean water, right? That's how it's Puerto Rico. So if you're out in big water, ocean water, and you bang into an island, it's very likely going to be Puerto Rico, especially if it's in utter absolute chaos. Trump also seems to think that to somehow aid Puerto Ricans is contingent upon addressing this huge debt, which of course was incurred by Wall Street just simply sticking its proboscis into the heart of Puerto Rico and sucking the blood out. There's no mystery there. And on the subject of Caribbean mysteries, when we look at Cuba, as Trump became increasingly nervous about the U.S. and Cuba's warming relations, all of a sudden people, the Americans, began to sicken in a pattern so consistent, so absolutely right down the line, from the Russian playbook, that the fact that Russia has not been mentioned in this context whatsoever would be the most stark, evident indicator that somehow that this is no accident. Well, I just love saying this phrase. It's like, if you see a tortoise on a fence post, you know it did not get there by accident. And once again, if you see people in Cuba getting sick, State Department people, American governmental representatives sickening, you know, what do you make of it? Obviously, it's not going to be the Cuban people who are behind it. And who else? So look a little further. In fact, look across big water, ocean water. Okay, some weather. We've got sunny skies today and high around 72. A bit of wind, not much. And tonight, mostly clear. Lows around 46, except, as we said yesterday, in outlying areas where it's bloody freezing, bloody cold outside. And tomorrow, Thursday, dawn, bright and clear. Highs reaching around 73. And again, a cold night and clear skies. So, that said, I spent a frustrating few days attempting to reach none other than Scott Pruitt because I was so fascinated. I was captivated by what Scotty's been up to, which in a nutshell, and as they say, anything that you could put in a nutshell should probably stay there. But nonetheless, we dragged it out, kicking and screaming. And Scott Pruitt has been whining and dining some of the companies that he is supposed to be, in fact, regulating, not whining and dining. Top executives from Southern Company, one of the nation's largest coal-burning electric utilities, Equinox, White Table. That was a White Table event, and the same evening, it was on to BLT Prime. It was a steakhouse where he talked with the directors of Alliance Resource Partners, ARP, the coal mining giant, whose chief executive donated nearly $2 million, too large, to help elect Trump. And Pruitt also met privately with top executives and lobbyists from General Motors to talk about their request to block the Obama administration's move to curb emissions. And that was just a day in the life of Scotty, who apparently was too busy to take phone calls from anyone. Or even a communications director couldn't reach one of those. I expect that the reason for that is that none had been appointed under Trump, and Obama's appointments were those people, career civil servants, were all dismissed. So I did want to find out from Pruitt what he was attempting. Was he talking regulation? Perhaps he could woo them with a stake. So leave it out with bait. You get a stake and you tie a piece of string to it. And then you sit in the regulatory office and as the coal mining companies and General Motors and so forth, as they begin to sniff the stake and they start following it, you sort of pull the string and you get them closer and closer. And finally, they're right there at the door of regulators. And at that point, you drop a net on Scotty and get him to sign off on what he's supposed to be doing, regulating these very same industries. Having failed to get Scott Pruitt, I called Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG, because here's someone who works day and night, no stakes involved, very likely, to follow what FERC and what energy companies are up to with regard to this LNG adventure off of Oregon's coast, which, by the way, the ocean is dying. So this is just another stab in the back. Jody, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Yes, good morning for keeping our issue on the forefront, because, as you know, Jordan Cove, for the third time, filed an application. We were in a pre-filing process, and on September 21st, they filed their permanent application with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and we're kind of waiting because FERC hasn't either approved or rejected that application. And a really excellent letter went in yesterday to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission from some landowners, kind of explaining how Jordan Cove does not meet the criteria for continuing on. They did not meet the burden of proof because, as we know, in March of 2016, the FERC denied the project and said they hadn't proven that there was a public interest that outweighed the damage and harm it would do to landowners and other things. So before they come back, they really should meet that proof, and they have not done that. But we're trudging along. Yesterday, comments were due on the Port of Coos Bay wants to deepen and widen the 7-mile channel, and conveniently they want to build this turning basin just right there where Jordan Cove is, but it has nothing to do with Jordan Cove. So we had to file comments on that, and I just...
When did this happen? When did the turning basin start to become an issue?
Well, this is the channel. Our channel, if anybody's been to Coos Bay, you know we have this harbor that's pretty narrow. It's not been a problem for transporting wood chips and that. I mean, ships do come in here, but what the port wants to do is bring in these large Panamax vessels. They can't even get into other harbors. They want to bring them in here. Well, you can't. We're way too narrow here. So what they want to do is just come in here and just gut the bay, and then those ships can come in. Well, to give you an example of what they're proposing, and this does not include the slip dock that Jordan Cove wants to build, which is 5.7 million cubic yards, but what the port wants to do is dredge out of the bay, just to deepen and widen, 18 million cubic yards of material. Now, to give you an example of how much that is, that would be the equivalent to 85 football fields filled 100 feet high of material. That's how much material they want to take out of this bay. And they think that's fine, you know, so they can get their big vessels in here. Well, that will be devastating to this bay and the clamming and crabbing and oyster growing that goes on here. So, you know, we put comments in. That process is separate from the FERC process, even though that we know Jordan Cove's kind of behind it. But the scoping comments ended yesterday. That starts a process for the deepening and widening, just like with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, but it's separate. It's through the Army Corps of Engineers. So stay tuned, because there's going to be more opportunities to comment on things like this.
And what about First Nations involvement? And we don't often talk about that, but generally speaking, when this involves destroying a local native fishery, then there is some input. Have you had any recently with regard to this? Because we shouldn't be taught. Why are we even here? FERC was put to deny this permit. I mean, way back in the back of beyond. What happened?
That's a mystery to me too, because, you know, you have other players way more resources than Jordan Cove has, that have pulled their projects, because there's a glut of LNG on the market right now. There's too many exporters and not enough importers, and and if you look at the industry's reports, this is going to go on for a long time. There's no need for new terminals, because if you even count the terminals under construction, this glut's going to last for a long time. But I think personally what going on with Jordan Cove is they're being, you know, just like other times, we're being used to get a better deal somewhere else maybe. If people think in Australia they may go to Jordan Cove, well, then they'll give them a better deal. That's what I think's going on. But still, we citizens have to sit here, and these processes are daunting. You got to try to get all the comments in, raise every issue you can think of. And after 13 years, you know, some of us are tired of, you know, repeating our words over and over and over again.
Jody, thanks so much for being with us today. Really appreciate the work that you do. We talk to you all the time because we know that you're always at it. It never stops. And it's, as you said, Jordan Cove is being used to leverage other projects in other parts of the world. Pruitt, this should be regulated. This should be something that the nation take a look at. Our points on our map being used to elevate other points on the map. Other points, dare I say, across big water, ocean water, in the words of our leader. Thanks again for that. My guest has been, Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG, still fighting the good fight at Jordan Cove. This has been Air Cascadia at 4, Wednesday, October 4th, 2017. Tammy Dean engineered for today. Thanks, Tammy. Derek Brooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.